Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and we are doing a program for the last 2 weeks, I believe, 3 weeks. We're going to do it for the next 8 weeks on Reconnected. I think, well, next week we may have to switch to another day because I have a regular program, but we are going to connect. I believe we're going to put the brother on next Tuesday. How to be a mentor to your child self by Brother Nazim Rashid. And I want you to get a copy of this book. It is a book greater. I don't want to compare it because there is no comparison. But I remember reading a man by the name of Dr. John Bradshaw. I had great admiration for him. And I was saying, Almighty God, please bless one from among us to come out with that book. I'd read the Adult Children of Alcoholics Manual. I had read the big book, the book of the AA people. I read the Narcotics Anonymous book, the big book. I've read many books on recovering ourselves, and we believe that human beings are naturally good. They naturally come in the world innocent, and all we got to do is go into a nursery. Those children are not sinful. They're loving. They're curious. They balance the material world. They only cry for food when they need it. They're contented. They respect mommy and daddy naturally. So we want to be reconnected to our child self. So I'm going to shut up and bring our guests on, Brother Dr. Nazim Rashid. And I'm going to ask Brother Dr. Rashid, we're focusing this week on continuing the chapter on forgiveness. And I'm going to ask him to give us an opening statement. Then I'm going to follow you up with some questions. And then you're going to be able to participate right in the dialogue. And then you psychotherapists that are out there in the audience, you can dial 805-727-7013 and join the conversation. We want to know how to be reconnected, how to be a mentor to your child self, reconnected. So let's get the reconnection going with the reconnector, Brother Nazim Rashid. Brother Nazim? Seems, I don't know what happened. Did we lose the connection? We seem to have lost the connection. To Brother Nazim. Okay. Brother Nazim, are you with us? And then Nazim, we had our connection with, let's see here.
Thing.
Brother Nazim, we
testing?
Yeah, I think we got disconnected somehow
okay.
or another. Would you please give us an opening statement? I don't know how much of our intro lead in you missed.
I heard
but
everything. I heard everything, yes.
Okay, you may proceed.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, I want to first just thank you for the opportunity to share as we all grow together to become the best human beings possible. I'm looking forward to a very motivating and inspiring conversation. Thank you.
Last week, we spent a great deal of time, I think, talking about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big term. And in Islamic terms, we always talk of the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And some people think to forgive means to forget. I want you to redefine first forgiveness for us, or reiterate forgiveness. At the same time, I want you to tell us how we can get a copy of the book, how we can be in touch with you, and we will continue with your our dialogue.
Yes, sir. Well, to recap, last week we talked about forgiveness, what it really meant. And basically it means to emotionally let go of what caused you some kind of pain and trauma in the past. Emotionally let go. Doesn't mean you forget. Doesn't mean that you let someone off of a crime that they might have done on one level or another. It just means that emotionally they're not a burden on you as you proceed on your life pursuits. Too many times we go along life with a big burden on us, like we're carrying a huge weight, and we are carrying a huge weight, and the weight comes from hurt from the past. Someone hurts you. Someone might have, you know, given you a black eye at 8 years old, and you haven't forgiven them yet, and you carry that all along your childhood into your relationships, and you're distrustful of people. You're distrustful of relationships in general behind that incident that happened to you at 8 years old. So what happens is that you're carrying that hurt along, and it's interfering with what you're doing, interfering with your objectives, interfering with your life. So when we say forgiveness in this way, we're saying that we are to let go of the emotional attachments of the past, you see. So they don't become an emotional burden. That we take care of business when we have to, absolutely. If someone hurts you and they committed a crime, they need to be arrested. They need to be dealt with on one level or another. You know, and you can do all that. That's fine. You ought to do that. If someone committed a crime, assault against you, then they need to be corrected behind that, you see. So you do that. But even if you do that, you have someone arrested, you can still forgive them. That means that they are not an emotional burden on you. You don't lift the weight of the punishment. If they deserve punishment, they get that. But you don't carry the emotional baggage with you, which will actually interfere with your life and impede upon your joy and happiness.
At this subject, I think we need to talk about this because we have people in our audience have been abused, molested, sometimes even by their mother, their father, parents, all kinds of figures. How does one forgive that abuser, that perpetrator? What does it mean to let that person go, release that person? And we obviously said we're not telling anybody not to let people go to jail, not less than telling anybody to forget the experience, but let's not be held a prisoner of that person. Mom has knocked you over the balcony, okay? Mom shouldn't have done that. But if you carry mom around with you, perhaps you're going to knock somebody else over the balcony. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's right, exactly. So that's what we're talking about right there. You can forgive them for that. Sure, absolutely. You know, they didn't know what they were doing at the time. They weren't in touch with their own child self. They weren't at all. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, a damaged child from a damaged parent. And so they didn't know. So the idea that we ought to let them go emotionally, you know. Now, we don't allow anything like that to happen again because we love ourselves. That's part of the book also, is to learn how to love ourselves on a deep level so that we are not attracting that kind of, you know, misbehavior, you know, toward us, that kind of violation of our space toward us. We're not attracting that anymore. If something does come our way, we are to deflect or defend, you know, so that we are not allowing any kind of abuse to happen to us, you see. So that's what happens. We actually forgive, let the person go emotionally. They're not going to do it again. If it's a family member and we have to be around them for reunions or birthdays or certain occasions, we are to have a force field around us of love and compassion and self-worth so that they do not become a burden anymore. If they try something again, we know how to deflect real quick. We know how to say, excuse me, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person anymore, so that is not going to work anymore. We got to change the subject, or I have to leave. You see? So So that's not happening.
No,
I'm
let
not,
me
I'm
ask
not,
you this. While we at it, we have people who have been victims of incest.
Mm-hmm.
People have been victims of molestation by family members,
mm-hmm.
abuse by family members, and you're going to go to a family reunion. Would you recommend that a person go to the person's old, gray, crippled, perhaps even crazy, but that's still fresh in your memory? Would you recommend that a person go around that family member?
Well, they can go there after they go through a detoxing process, after they go through my book, after they go through a healing, detoxing and healing, sure, they can do it. They do it as a new person. They don't do it as an old person. Say, for instance, if their name was John, they got abused, they're now called Yaya. Yaya won't have it, will not have that at all. And so Yaya is full of love, compassion, and self-worth, and self-love, and self-confidence that they can deal with, you know, they can deal with old Bubba who molested them easily by raining, by asking Almighty God to give them blessings and understanding because they know not what they did, you see. Send them love and send angels to them. We can do that. We can send angels to them to help them with their understanding. They're not a burden on me anymore, you see. So when a person sees a transformed person, they're less likely to try anything again. If they do, we know how to deflect and defend. We do all that with love and compassion, knowing that God has our back, and we know exactly what we're doing. We're doing things in accordance with love, compassion, and knowing that as we're working in that sense, and I call it a divine space, we'll get the blessings ourselves.
Yes. We talked a lot about that external forgiveness, forgiving grandma that threw hot lye on us, forgiving uncle who's done some of these horrible things, so even forgiving moms for
right.
neglecting us because she went out to get some crack and left
right.
us in the house when we were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just finish up that forgiveness by asking you, what exercises can we use to exorcise those feelings, those hurts, those pains?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have to first realize who we are. See, a lot of times we can't forgive because we don't feel we're worth it. We don't feel we're entitled to that because no one told us we were. You know, we don't. You know, so you know, if we're living with kind of ridicule and shame and all this, you're going to feel guilty, shy. You know, you're going to feel that you're already condemned before you even start. You know, so you have to first realize that we are a divine spirit. You know, the divinity is inside of us. We're worth the best. We're worth the process of becoming whole and happy. Happiness is a trait that belongs to us, that belongs to us. When we aren't feeling happy, we just feel, hey, someone stole my happiness. I'm getting it back. Happiness needs to belong to me. I need to hold on to that at all times. So in order for me to be that way, I have to learn to let go. So how do we do that? First of all, realize you're worth it. You're worth it. And you ought to go through it because you know that you know, God wants you be whole and happy and sound. You know, that's real, real super important, you see. And then, like, you know, realize that before you do anything in the area of detoxing, of emotional rebuilding or reconciling, you have to realize that this forgiveness has to take place first. You can't move on. You can't move forward if the old days are holding you back. It's kind of like a tug of war. You're going forward, and this ghost from the past is holding you back. You know, the ghost has one arm and your goals have another arm. And what happens? You're in the middle being pulled apart. You see? So you have to realize that you're worth the process, and you're going to let go, knowing that when you let go, you can go forward to full steam. That's important. Understand you're worth it and to hold on to the benefits of letting go. The benefits are joy and happiness, a life of freedom and possibilities, a life where you don't feel angry toward anybody. Yeah, hold on to the benefits. See, we got to look toward where we're going, not where we're going, where we're leaving from. You know, there are two kinds of motivation. You have fear motivation and desire motivation. I'll say it again. You have two kinds of motivation, fear and desire. If you're operating off fear motivation, like say, for instance, you're in a house and the house is on fire, you get out of there because you don't want to burn up. Okay, get out of there. Okay, get out of there. You know, now that's a good idea of fear motivation. A bad one is you're in a bad marriage, you know, and you're just afraid for, you know, your life or your well-being. So you gotta get out of there because you want safety. You're gonna get out of there, all right. So you leave that and then you hop into another one, another marriage, all right, because you want safety and security. So you find that, you know, so another sister says, I'm gonna marry this one because she seems safe and secure. All right? No, what was motivating was fear motivation. You know, right? Now, desire motivation says, I'm focused on what I want. Not where I'm leaving from, what I want. And what I want is happiness, security, safety, joy. I'm going toward that. That's where I'm going. That's the only thing on my mind is what I want. Like I mentioned before, it's like driving in the car. And you're focused on the rear view mirror as you're driving, as your foot is on the accelerator pedal, pushing it down. You're looking in the rear view mirror. You're saying to yourself, I got to get away from the situation. I got to get away, so I'm going. As you're going, you're looking in the rear view mirror. All right, you do that, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. And a lot of us crash because we're looking in the wrong direction as we're moving forward. Desire motivation says, no, I'm looking straight ahead. Matter of fact, I got a nice story in the book about that. You know, you can straight ahead. You don't care about the rear view mirror. You're going straight ahead because that's where you're going. You're smiling, saying, yes, I'm going toward my dreams. I'm going toward my higher self. I'm going toward peace and happiness and joy. I'm singing. I'm having a good time. I'm dancing in my seat. I feel wonderful. That's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm carrying. I'm carrying my joy. I'm carrying my freedom. I'm carrying my possibilities. I'm carrying my probabilities of a great and excellent life. So that's where I keep my focus on where I'm going, not where I've been. So once you have this in mind, forgiveness is easy. Hey, let the person go so you can go forward. Like I said, you're in a tug of war. It doesn't feel good when somebody's got one arm going, you know, in back of you, and another person has another arm going in front of you. That does not feel good. So why be stuck in an area where you don't feel good? No, no. Let go. Move on. That's how you do it.
Now, you know, we talked about this external forgiveness, and I could really spend more time on that, but I'm going to move on in the interest of time and go to another subject of self-forgiveness. Now, how does one forgive oneself? I didn't do anything. The guy smacked me upside the head with a rolling pin. I was molested by my sister, brother, or whatever. Why should I forgive myself? Do I need to forgive myself?
Yeah, if we trace our steps, if we look back, there are areas where you could have done something, you could have made a better choice and you didn't. You see, now in that situation, you know, it's not the case. But if we look back, there are situations all of us have made some wrong choices. You know, and it's in those areas where we need to ask forgiveness for ourselves, because think about it. You make wrong choices, what do? You justify the choices, all right? You're liable to do it again. Why? Because now you're justified by doing it, so why not repeat it? You see, there are areas where you got to look at what you've done to yourself, all right? Now, suppose you can't find them, you know, quickly. Do it anyway, because you're asking for forgiveness of what you know and what you don't know. For I've done consciously, what I've done unconsciously. You see, remember, thoughts are things. If you think ill about someone, all right, that thought creates energy against that person, just the thought. You need to ask God to forgive you for that. You see, because we got to realize everything we say, everything we do, everything we think about creates energy. And the energy goes out to help us or to harm us. There's nothing left undone in the universe. Nothing. There's no such thing as a void. No such thing as an absent period or absent area in the universe. No such thing. Everything that is said, done, and thought about creates energy. and we have to be accountable for that. Real important, you know. So that's how you do that.
Now we want to move to tell us also how we can get the book. You and I got secrets. We don't, you know, they say you're sick at your secrets, so we don't want to keep our secrets with us. We have a book. I'm looking at it right now. You probably are looking at it itself. Tell us how we can get that book, reconnect it, how to be a mentor to your child self. And we're speaking with the author of the book, Nazim Rashid, who is speaking with us. You're going to tell us how to get the book, and we're going to do some exercises right on the air that will actually help us exorcise.
All right.
Some of these, we would say these emotions that are not good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, very easily. You go to my website. If you're stateside, go to my website, cloudsofabundance.com. Just like it sounds. cloudsofabundance.com. And for those who listen to my radio program, which is blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, when you go there and hear any of the shows, I wrote a theme song that starts all my shows, and the theme song is called Clouds of Abundance. Absolutely. So if you're stateside, go there. I can actually sign it, I can autograph it, and mail it to you personally. Now, if you're out of the country, you know, I have at least 12 countries that are tuned in to my show at various times, then you have to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and they have it in e-book formats like Kindle and Nook. You know, you can get that very cheaply. You can get an e-book format or the paperback. You see, go to Amazon and put in the search Reconnected. Just put Reconnected in there, and it all comes up. Or if you can remember how to be a mentor to your child self. Or Reconnected / Nazim Rashid. And either way, it comes up, and you can see it there. Plenty of great reviews there. If you go to Amazon, there are a lot of good reviews, book reviews on there, endorsements by some really high-level psychologists and just lay people. They're all endorsing the book. You'll see it there. And on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you can actually flip through the pages. It's called Peek Inside. So you can actually take your mouse and read some of it right there online. So that's how you do it for sure. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. You can do that. And also, if you want to have additional help, if you go on my homepage and scroll to the bottom, you can be on my special mailing list I call my Reconnected Elite Group. And if you sign up there, I'll have your email. I can send you every week what I call my weekly affirmative messages, which are various quotes from the book and a way to really kind of give you a boost for your week. I pick different subjects, and we talk about it. It might be spirituality for a while. It might be faith. It might be family. And we talk about it a little bit there, and I invite you to respond to that too. And you can get that personal report from me. Plus, anytime I'm working on new projects, like right now, working on a video, I'll tell you about that. And when the video comes out, I'll put it on that list first before anybody else sees it, so you get first dibs on what's going on with me there. Mm-hmm. And we can connect back and forth in case you're having a challenge with a certain chapter, you're going to a 12 principles of recovery, and you want help with principle 3 or 4, I can help you. All that happens, you know, through that group there. So, again, you go on the homepage, scroll down, sign up, and we can have a little more personal report with one another. There you go. So that's how you do it.
Yes, we are talking with Brother Nazim Rashid, the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And he is the author of this great book. And I want to clue our audience in to how you can be reconnected to your adult child self by supporting this ministry, Religion Means Alive. You can send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. As Brother Doctor knows, these shows are not free. Alan Levy expects money from us every month. And we thank God for Alan Levy and the great work he's doing with Blog Talk Radio. So we're not mad at him. In fact, we're glad at him that he had the idea to come up with Blog Talk Radio. Well, we're coming to your home. Send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. We thank Almighty God for the donations you have already sent us. We thank Almighty God for the donations you will send us. We thank Almighty God for the donations you shall continue to send us. And Brother Doctor, prior to me going to the next page, will you give us one of our affirmations, that great affirmation that you send out to people and tell us about? It heals me as it moves through the way, airwaves.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a good one, one of my favorites. I am one with the power that created me, and I express for myself the greatness that I am. And that's a good one right there. See, I start with I am, I end with I am. I'll say it again.
You
I am
one.
One
last week. I that's the one. You sent it out an email. A caller from Pennsylvania emailed you to receive it. And you sent it to him. Give us that one. That is somewhat longer.
Reconnected creed.
The reconnected creed. Yes. Reconnected.
Oh, that one. Yes. Now that is my. That's really my ultimate goal. I have the book. I want to be able to spread this all over the world, so everybody in all parts of the world have this and they're living this. This is my.
And what page is that in the book?
I couldn't tell you right now. I have to research
right.
That one. But I know it's toward the end. And now here it is. Now here, reconnect the creed. It goes like this. I can create.
I am creating.
A peaceful, passionate, powerful, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. God's Spirit resides in me, is a part of me, and is directing me constantly, with me being the worthy co-pilot. All great things are available for my use and enjoyment. I will be great at anything I choose to do because that is the only position I can take that I will be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner because I am a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life that I thought was only a dream with accomplishment of my goals and joy in my soul. There you go.
Wow. That is powerful. I feel nothing but tranquility as I listen to it and absorb it into my spirit, into my body, and exude it through my mind and spirit. Excellence awaits me. I want to now turn the page to the next theme, which is called validation.
Mm.
Will you please tell us what does that mean?
Well, you know, validation.
I just had to read a cloud of abundance. Keep on following me. I've known this for a while. I was born with a promised destiny. This is why I wear this smile. Clouds of abundance. Keep on following me. I see the people stop and stare. All around me is more prosperity. There's no room for despair.
Whew.
Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I do feel I'm in the flow. Just believe in your possibilities, and that's how your life will go. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. You know that you deserve this too. Look deep within, and you'll see just what I see. There's abundance right there for you. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. Even though you might hit the wall, look beyond your present difficulties. Move on, faith, and never stall. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I know that you want this too. Just believe in divine authority, and the blessings will be for you. Clouds of abundance. Keep on following me. I have to share and keep on giving. The more I receive, there's more in charity. That's the way that I'm living. Clouds of abundance. Keep on following me. All the doubts that I passed the test. My health is vibrant. I'm full of energy, and I will only receive the best. Clouds of abundance. Tell us why you created that affirmation before we go on to the next topic.
Well, you know, it's important to have a mantra, something that's leading you, something that's guiding you. That's what affirmations do. And it's important, you know, when you have faith, you know that Almighty God has you in mind, has never forsaken you, and has a promised life for you. All right, so I created, yeah, I'm also a songwriter, by the way, in case folks didn't know that, I'm also a songwriter. So I can hear melodies and hear lyrics. And I created this song, actually. There's actually a poem there, but if you, all those who listen to my show, they'll hear two verses that opened up my show. The first two verses that you read, that's what you actually hear on my show there. And it's important to have that in mind, because once you say that every day, you envision that everywhere you go. It's kind of like people say, I'm lucky. Great things happen to me all the time. I'm lucky. Every time I go someplace, I win. You know, we should figure that God has a special assigned cloud over you, showering down blessings everywhere you go. You get joy to joy, prosperity to prosperity, accomplishment to accomplishment, win to win. Everything is happening in your favor. God has a sign, a certain cloud that says, rain down blessings on that my servant there. Yes, I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased with what he's doing. Make sure he gets blessings every step he goes. Everywhere he goes, I know he's going to give it back. And that's what we have in mind, you see. So this is very good. And it covers so many areas, as you read. For those who might be hoarders, they don't like to spend charity. I say, hey, clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I have to share and keep on giving. The more I receive, the more it goes in charity. That's the way I'm living. You see? You say just that one over and over and over, and you're going to get charity every time you get a dollar. You'll give someone back just by saying that one over and over and over. You see? So these things keep us on track. And if we find ourselves getting despondent, you know, things aren't going right. There's a verse that talks about that. Even though we might hit the wall, ride on faith and never stall. You see? So there's something in there for almost every situation. That's why it's there. And if people read that regularly, then anytime something happens that might throw them off the path, there's a verse there that can bring them back on the path. That's why I did it, because it was needed.
This is the kind of music we need in our soul. I want to ask you, we go to the next topic in the book, which is validation. What do you mean by validation?
Well, the validation is so important. Matter of fact, that's the one word that changed me around to this new life I'm living right now. Because as a kid, I wasn't validated. Validated really means to give value. To give value. And for those who did not get validation, those who didn't get any kind of value, no kind of nothing that gave them any kind of sense of worth, then what happens, you feel worthless. And when you feel worthless, you don't have any connection to life. That's when drugs come in, or suicide comes in, or, you know, abuse of somebody else comes in. You feel, I have no life. No one has told me I have a life. No one said that I had any value here. So you know, I can do anything, you see. That's very important. And when, you know, I tell parents all the time, kids, they need to know they are okay inside. They are not mistakes. They are wanted. They have value. They have a reason to be alive. Their spirit deep inside is loved. They have real meaning here. They have a purpose for being here. They do matter. They and their feelings do matter. And that's so very important to understand. When you do that, you validate. And see, validation is not just compliments. Like, oh, yo, Johnny, you did a good job tonight. That's not validation. Validation speaks to the person inside. Speaks to that inner child inside the child. You know, instead of saying, you did a good job tonight, how about, Johnny, you're the kind of person that does good because you're created in goodness. You're created in greatness. So you do good because you are following your own nature that God put inside of you. You've got good inside, and I see it. That's validation. So we can't confuse validation and service compliments. Compliments are good. We should do that. However, go beyond the service compliment and speak to the soul inside the person and give value there. And once we give value there, that person lights up and says, yeah, I do have worth. I can do things. Oh, yeah, I was creating greatness. Yes, God had a special mold that had my name on it. Yes, I can do more things, you know. I can do that. So that's why I say it's important to feel like you're important. Know that your feelings are real, very personal to you, and should be acknowledged as such. Feel okay sharing those feelings and personal perspectives. Feel like someone is not going to ridicule you or in some other way disrespect you behind your expressed feelings. Those things are very important. Feeling at ease discussing what is deep inside. When you validate it, you can do that. You see, when you validate it, you can be okay being vulnerable because you feel safe with the other person. See, you feel like life is okay and you want to live. You feel life has a purpose and value. You feel that God has a mission for you. You have a strong sense that God wants you to be a vehicle for his way to reach people. And that's so very important. You got to have it. If you don't have that, the emotional scarring starts taking place and problems begin. And that's what happens there. That's why, you know, that's one of the main reasons I wrote the book. I became a mental health and drug counselor. I wanted to share the importance of validation. And then when I see kids, I validate all of them. I tell them all about the greatness. I tell parents do the same. I ran youth programs in the Bay Area, and I pumped the kids up. Yes, I made them realize their own greatness inside. And they went out there, helped other kids out. Absolutely. See, so it's very important. We have to pump them up. Let them know how great they are. You know, deep inside. See, that's one thing that almost cost me my life because I was having suicidal fantasies as a kid myself because I had no validation. So I figured, well, why hold on to life? Let me end myself real quickly here, as long as it wasn't painful, you know. And I was fantasizing on different ways I could take myself out. And then drugs came along.
So you reacted to your lack of validation, but this I know this was a process. But I know the validation, important validation. I remember growing up, young man, very despairing, and had not the home life I wanted. And I remember some people in the neighborhood. I remember Mr. Benjamin Wright, God bless his soul, and then Mr. Spinner, and several others who told me, young man, you're going to be great. You're going to be a credit to our race.
All right.
I'm going to help you. I don't know where Mr. Wright is. He never, you know, he told me, Benjamin Wright, he said, you know, I'm going to help you go to college. You're going to really be great one day. Now, whether or not he saw that in me or not, but believe you me, in some of my despairing moments, when things were very difficult, when I didn't even have a place to live, that kind of validation actually came to give me lights and clouds of hope and took away the clouds of despair. And let's talk a little bit about validation, how a person who doesn't feel valid or valued, and how they transmit that lack of value to their children, how we break this vicious cycle. I'm worthless, therefore if everybody's around me is worthless, therefore if my children are worthless, but we don't say that directly. But we have that message. So we have to, because we don't have the validation, we invalidate others. Share with us about that.
Well, see, we're living, you know, living according to the patterns that we lived upon. We're living the patterns. And if we didn't get validated, we said, well, you know, I'm not going to validate anybody. No one validated me, so why should I validate anybody else? You know, I don't see any reason for that, so I'm not going to do it. You see? And then what happens, you start another generation of children who are now validated. Then what happens, if you don't feel validated, you're not going to validate anybody else, and you feel that you can do anything, and it won't matter. You see, you have the emotional scarring that takes place, and you start acting out, or you become disruptive in school and on your job, become a troubled person, you might get into fights, you do anything because, you know, you're troubled inside. You know, anytime we have emotional scarring, what happens? We tend to act out on that because the inner child inside can't stand that, can't stand disruption, can't stand emotional imbalance. And so when we have that, the inner child will lash out. They'll say, hey, I don't like this. I'm going to cause you some problems here. You know, and you act out because you're disturbed inside. Bullies, all bullies, I tell you, you know, it comes from invalidation. Those who want to inflict harm on others, invalidation, they're never validated themselves. And so they say, I'm going to pick on somebody else because I'm disturbed. You know, I just want to lash out. And what they're doing, they're not really lashing out at the other person. They're lashing out at the person who didn't validate them. That's what they're really doing. You see, if the mother didn't invalidate and they beat up, you know, someone in school, you know, they're trying to figure out a way to get back at mama for not validating me. So therefore, I'm going to beat somebody else up here, and hopefully somebody will see what I'm doing and help me. Bullies are all, they're all asking for help. They said, please help me, somebody. You know, I don't know what's going on here. I'm upset. I'm mad, and I'm disturbed. And I need some help. You see. So this is what happens. This is why it's very important. It's kind of like a wild horse. You got a wild horse out there. Somebody might say that horse is dangerous. Stay away from that horse. The horse, you know, beat up my horse. Say, stay away from that horse. But a person would say, that horse has value. Let me talk to the horse. Let me take care of the horse. Let me show a horse kindness. Let me show a horse what a great horse he is. I bet he won't buck and kill, act wild. I'll spend it because I see greatness in that horse. I'll show you. That person goes there and tames a horse, and the horse rides just as comfortably, you know. And because that horse got the attention that he needed to have. So this is what happens. We don't have it, we lash out in hopes that someone will help us out. And the lashing out can cause problems. You know, it can cause someone's life even, cause you to go to jail, you know. So validation is so, so very important. We have to know we matter, you know. And it's too bad when, you know, we got, you know, we try to reconcile with parents. Say your parents didn't validate you, you know, 30, 40 years later. And you ask the person, you know, did my feelings ever matter to you? And they might say, well, of course. Why didn't you ever say something, you know? You know about that.
I'm laughing because I've seen these cases clinically. You know, when people come reconciling with their parents or, and I'm laughing as you know, as identification. And this is the reconnection process. I'm thinking, Doctor, that we were talking, I was talking to a person that was a troubled child at school. And he said he met a teacher. He was considered disturbed. He had really lots of emotions. Well, he got in trouble in every class he went in. And finally he met a lady teacher who said, you know what you need? You just need a hug. And she gave him a hug and said, sit at his table, at her table for lunch. And he said his whole life changed. First time he'd come up thinking he was ugly, thinking he was not valid, and somebody validated. And that was another case of a clinical psychologist say he was walking through Times Square one night.
Mm-hmm.
And a man grabbed him and said, you saved my life. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said he was astounded. He didn't know what the man was talking about. He said, the man said, I was in Attica prison, and you were a clinical psychologist there. And he said, you told me I was intelligent. He said, no one in my life had ever told me I was intelligent. He said, but as a direct result of that, I now have a PhD. The psychologist said he looked at the man, and he said he didn't remember him. He did remember working at that prison. But this is important, validation, to value people. And that's why we value our audience. That's why we tell our audience that you're noble. Because it's important for human beings to be told that. But it's especially important for the target audience that we're working with, which is primarily.
Right.
I make no apologies. I have no hesitation. I am unabashed, without hesitation, targeting the descendants of slavery. And as I said on this program, and I will continue to say, much of this program is dedicated to Lula Nallen, which was my grandmother, who was a slave born on the Davis Plantation in Appomattox, Virginia. And I validate her, put the value on her, and actually, according to the family tradition, I was supposed to be the next witch doctor or conjurer. So I guess I'm doing her work now by trying to heal people as much as I can by having you on the program. I want you to talk about something we talked about last week. It's self-talk. How did you talk yourself out of these suicidal ideations?
Well, at the time, I didn't talk myself out of it. I was trying to do it at the time, but the opportunity didn't come up. I was trying different things, and something didn't work. So at the time, I wasn't trying to talk myself out of it. I was trying to talk myself into it more because I was through with this life. I had no connection to life, you know, and I didn't have a neighbor. I had not one person. Think about it. A lot of people say there might be one teacher or one neighbor. Like you're talking about one person. One person that saw the good in me or somewhere, one teacher somewhere or a pastor or some. In my case, I can't think of not one person. Not one person. And so that's pretty bad. So I had nothing, nobody to hold on to, no sayings, no special compliments, zero. And so I said, well, I'm going to check out. I might as well go back to God where I came from. And so I was trying that. So at the time, I was trying to talk myself more into it than out of it. And so it wasn't until I, you know, went through the drug experience and then I went through a, 12-step program after I started getting withdrawal symptoms. And I said, because after you get an inflated ego, which a drug life does do, it really inflates your ego, thinking that you're everything. And I didn't want to. It was kind of a rebellious act against the childhood I had, because you know everything was controlled. I couldn't even express myself. I wasn't allowed to talk and express myself. Everything had to be controlled. Everything was, I had to ask permission first for anything. And so it was an atmosphere where you could express yourself how you feel and what's going on in your life. It wasn't even like that, you know. If we did, we get beat up. And so it wasn't like that. So getting into a drug life, hey, I'm talking all the time. I'm my own man now.
Let me ask you this.
Can't nobody tell me anything.
Did your family use drugs or alcohol?
No, it was really something. It was no drugs, no alcohol. It was just a strict, very strict upbringing. But my father was never around. He's a workaholic. He worked all the time. But really, there was, in one way, it was like a Leader Beaver house. And someone may say, hey, if you look in our house, you say, man, you have a perfect household, perfect childhood, perfect, everything's perfect. My mother, she dressed fine every day, and I never saw her in curlers. She was there all the time. My father, I saw him at dinner time only, and then always the only time I saw him. From outside appearance, it looked like we had a perfect household. We were dressed nicely, and according to what my mother wanted us to look like anyway. And so on the outside, looking in, it looks like no problems, you see? But when you have a regimen in the house, and everything has to be according to how the parent, or in my case, the mother, says it's to be, and you're ridiculed by family members, you're berated, and you're not to say anything, you get no kind of support whatsoever, no one comes to your rescue whatsoever, and you're kind of left out there, without anybody, holding you back up. You fall on crying, and no one picks you up. You like that. What happens, it impedes on your whole idea of life. It really does. So therefore, when I got into drugs, and I started becoming rebellious, and I say, now nothing's ever going to control me again. I'm going to be my own person. And now I got an inflated ego, but then when I found that the drugs were controlling me, I said, oh my God, here we go again. Something controlling me. So that motivated me to go into a 12-step program so I could get rid of any kind of dependency. I did not want that because I had that as a child, no dependency. And that's when I came to the religion of Islam and transformed my life and became a new person entirely, entirely. That's what happened.
And then you went through a process, this 12 principle healing, and you reached these points. And what is interesting I noticed about you is that you're not a member of any 12-step programs. You spent some time with the 12 steps, but basically – the 12th step, if I understand it correctly, at the 12th step, that should be a complete spiritual rebirth.
Yes.
They said as a result of these steps, I've had a spiritual awakening. And I don't have to tell you, but you know what the first person supposed to have been recovered, Eddie, I believe his name was, went to Jung, and Jung said, do you need to be in an environment where you can have a rebirth, and that the psyche cannot just be arranged without that kind of rebirth. I want to open the lines at 805-727-7013. You can press 1 on your phone, and you can join the dialogue. We don't want to control you. We want to open you up and validate you. So we want you to bring your questions, your concerns, your feelings, as it were, to Religion Means Alive and Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Just press 1 on your phone, and you will be validated. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions out here. Okay, we have someone from 908 area code is coming forth. Yes, 908, you're on the air, but Religion Means Alive.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask the brother a question, and that was, you see a lot of our black boys out here selling drugs and dying. And they pretty much know, those boys that I see out there are very smart boys. They know that they're going to die. And this is my point. Do you think that they're on, like, a suicidal mission? Like, are they suicidal? Because they know that they're either going to end their life either in jail. And what I mean in your life, you don't end your life in jail, but you're going to do so much time that you might as well say it. Because nobody remembers you, you know, when you come out. You know, you have to just go back to your family and redo the whole thing. So what I'm saying is that between them, did they give up in their minds? Did they give up and say, you know what, this world doesn't want me. You know, nobody wants me. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to sell drugs. And 50 Cent said, he said, sell drugs or die trying, something like that. So I'm a get rich or die trying. So it's like, do they have like a suicidal mission? Because sometimes I think these boys have a suicidal mission because they know the end result and they still do the same exact thing. What do you think about that?
Well, Eve, let me tell you, their soul, their inner child is reaching out for help. They're crying out for help. They're saying, please, somebody help me. I was saying earlier about bullies. It's the same spirit. They beat somebody up, not because they want to beat somebody up. Their inner child is saying, hey, I'm hurt. I want somebody to help me. Somebody please show me another way to live. I don't like this. So I'm going to keep hurting people. I'm going to keep selling drugs. I'm going to keep being a gang member. I'm going to keep doing these things. I'm going to keep breaking and entering your house and stealing your TV. I'm going to do all these things, you know, as a way of saying, somebody help me. I don't know what else to do because I'm just following the environmental factors that are around me, influences that are around me, and I know nothing else to do. I know people say, well, you need to go to church, you need to follow this and follow that, but that's not enough. I need a real mentor, a real example, a real life person I can believe in that's not a hypocrite, because all I see are hypocrites around me. I need a real person that shows me another way to live life that I can trust in, and I know they got my back. They'll pick me up when I fall down, and I can live another kind of life and put me out of this environment. That's what I'm really saying. I need some help. Somebody please help me. And that's what they're really saying.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, I see in the neighborhood that I'm from, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of children wanting to be what you call, you know, recognized and wanting somebody to, but it's just that what's going on in the neighborhood is so complicated that it's hard for these children, you know, to be recognized. A lot of times they, you know, you might have a mother and she's dealing with three kids. That might be one of the three kids and she works two jobs and, you know, she's trying to put food on the table, husband's locked up, boyfriend's locked up, you know, and so it's a whole lot of dynamics to go into.
Right.
This whole thing, but what I'm saying is that I'm glad you said that. It's like the same. You're saying it's the same thing as bullying. It's the same thing as being bullied. Like they have to be. They should be recognized. And I would hope that, you know, eventually we'll have you know, brothers like yourself that are successful, that go into the public schools because that's where these children are. going to the public schools and grab on to some of these children and show them how to, you know, how to divert, you know, how to divert all the problems that's out here. Because I believe, just like you said, you know, it's a bullying, but, you know, it's also, in my opinion, I think they've just given up in their heads. They've given up and they said, it's smart children that are selling drugs. All these children aren't dumb kids. Some of these children are brilliant, and they're out here selling drugs. I think they've just kind of like given up and said, just like you said, the hypocrites. I don't want to see them, and the other people that's successful. They didn't give up on me, so I'm just gonna get out here and I'm gonna do what I need to do to get the job done. But I'm gonna come off now and I'm gonna let you speak. And thank you very much.
Well, I agree with you, sister. I agree with you. What happens is that again they're lashing out. And see, since no one is helping them the way they need to have the help, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. They don't care if they even die in the process. They're saying, well, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well die, you know, having a party, you know. And so they're going to be like that until someone does that. Now, what I did when I was in the Oakland area, I did that. I went to school. I created a program. I created this program. I made the city pay for it. And what I did, I created a program where I actually taught youth not only personal development skills, life skills, but I taught them to become teachers. So they can teach other youth. Because think about it, youth can teach other teachers a lot faster than we can. You see, so therefore, I picked six kids after I went through the whole screening process and training process. You know, I had six kids at the end of my workshops that I called my ambassadors. I focused on those six kids. I helped them with schoolwork. I was on the school campus with them. I talked to the parents. I was in the homes, and I developed a trust with them, and then I taught them skills. You know, so they can be self-sufficient. I taught them to be independent, to be emotionally balanced. And we talked about forgiveness, validation, all the things in my book we talked about. These kids had it together. Now, I said, okay, now you guys are understanding skills and living a different life. Now it's time to learn different skills so that you can actually teach this to other kids. And then we started, I call it a trainer or trainers program. And they started that. Now, I took them in high schools. I set up class in high schools, juvenile hall, and group homes and park and rec centers. So they actually went in there and taught class themselves in these environments, right there in the streets. They taught class themselves. They had workshops themselves. I sat in the audience and let them do it. And they turned around a lot of kids. They went to juvenile hall, and they addressed the gang leaders themselves. And they turned the gang leaders around, you see. And that's how you do that. And now, of course, you know, everybody can't do that. I understand that. That's why it's important that parents find some kind of mentoring. You know, they got the Boys and Girls Club. They got the, a lot of, you know, organizations that are designed to help be mentors. They got to stay busy. When I'm in homes, I'm in homes a lot, I see that the healthy parents, they got those kids busy. They don't have idle time. They're busy. They got activity. They got sports. They got football. They got soccer. They got things going on, swimming. Their kids are busy, you see. So our kids are too idle. They got to stay busy doing something. So mentoring programs are very, very good for that. You know, they got to be involved. Even though you might have a single mom, you know, working a couple jobs, another job, hers, has to be to find mentors for her kids, find mentoring programs or some kind of organization that's going to take those kids and help groom them when they're off of school. So they have another kind of way of seeing life and living life. So they have no idle time whatsoever. So that's what has to happen. You know, it's hard in the hood. I know it's very hard, very difficult. But it has to be done, and it has to be a top priority of the parents to make it happen. Find uncle. Find somebody to be a mentor to those kids, and they'll have another way to live life.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. You gave me a lot of ideas. I mean, I really appreciate that. You gave me a lot of ideas. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Well, you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. All you have to do is press 1 on your phone if you are on the line, and you can ask questions or make comments. I want to read from the book, Validation. On my list above, validation is the number one need without children. This is where we began. Kids need to know that they are okay inside. They are not mistakes. They are wanted and not some result of a one-night stand. They have value. They have a reason to be alive. Their spirit deep inside is loved. They have real meaning here. They are purpose of being here. And I want to now turn back to a typical household like yours. Well, you know, it's the white picket fence, the idyllic bucolic home on the inside, on the outside, but inside is a living torture chamber.
Right.
I think the hardest family I've found to treat are families of that nature. And I'm going to add something else that you and I talked offline. It's religious family. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything.
Right.
But I do hate. I do engage in rageaholic. I do a lot of those kind of things. But I'm okay. I go to church every Sunday. I'm on the deacon board. I'm a Muslim. I go to the mosque. I've been to Hajj. I'm at the masjid when it opens. You know, all of my children, I forgot to tell you, I also beat the hell out of my children, too, physically. I rage against them. I cuss my wife out. But I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Well, like last week, you cited the lawyer who had several businesses that was really, by all standards, was a part of the American dream. But remind me of the actor that was, I think, an Academy Award actor, but actually was a part of the American nightmare. I want you to talk about this American nightmare, typified by your home that everybody would think on the south side of Chicago, I believe you're from. Everybody
sure.
Would know that's a model family. What's a great family?
Sure. Sure.
Now,
and you're
share
right,
with
girl.
Us that, and share with
and
us the 51st
right.
state. Of denial.
Well, see, keep in mind, see, a lot of parents are wounded children themselves, are wounded parents, you know, and so they don't know. They don't have an idea how to have healthy, empowered children, have a healthy household, if they never experienced it themselves. Like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm supposed to tell my son I love him, and I, what do you mean? I don't do those kind of things. My parents didn't do it to me. Why should I do it to anybody? You know, so what do you mean? You know, hey, you get a job and that's it. Provide, that's it. You know, the love, so who cares about love? And so they don't
you know,
have
I've
an idea.
Actually heard people say that. Say, Mommy, why don't you tell me you love me? What good is love? And they'll even say what Tina Turner said. What love got to do with it?
Right, and that becomes popular. What's like, forget it. And think about it. See when we're parents, think about it. We aren't that far from slavery ourselves. We're not that far. I can go back three generations, and it's a plantation right there, you know. So we aren't that far. So we were never groomed to have healthy, how to have healthy households. What the parents and foreparents did, they did what the slave owners did to them. You see, and they're doing now on their children. You know, they get out of line, beat them down. You know. And as far as the girls are concerned in the household, the girls are groomed to marry, you know, as opportunity, kind of like you're looking for a job. Marry someone who's got some money and can take care of you, that's it. That's it. You know, opportunity, like you know, a job situation. So they're marrying for the wrong reasons, and they're actually living life for the wrong reasons, to tell you the truth, you see. So they're doomed from a wounded perspective. So you're not going to have a healthy perspective out of that. You're not going to have that. My mother, you know, she was in a household. You know, she had 15 other siblings. 15 other siblings in the house. They weren't there at the same time. There might have been 10 or so at the same time. But that's a lot of human traffic in the house. Got 10 other brothers and sisters running around all the time, you know. And she said she hid in the closet a lot of times just to stay out of traffic, you see. And so, therefore, you know, the parents aren't going to spend all that, you know, one-on-one time with them. They don't know anything. They're on a farm. You know, boys were out there, you know, making sure everything was picked in the field, and the girls would make sure the house was in order and learn how to cook. And when the father came, he was a preacher himself. Everybody was, you know, had to stand attention because he was very formalized in, you know, dictating of the household. And everything was very formalized. And so my mother, was, you know, in her mind, she wanted to grow up and she wanted to have a family not like that one. See, again, fear motivation, not like that one. So she wanted to have a household that she could control entirely. So she picked up the spirit of her father, you see, and she wanted to make sure to control everything. And so she came along like that. So as far as validating and making sure her kids felt okay inside, that was nowhere near her vocabulary or understanding or her desire to do so, you see. It wasn't there at all. This is why it's so important. We have to realize that we've been damaged. So what do? We ask ourselves, what would we like to have for ourselves? What kind of life would we like to have? What kind of parents would we like to have? Create the ideal situation in your mind. This I call my virtual experience. Create the kind of person you want to have in your mind, the kind of mother, kind of father you want to have in your mind. You create these people, you see? Yeah. And so that if your mother didn't validate you, create a mother that did. That's how you do it. Create one that did. Go in your mind and say, okay, oh, she says, son, I really appreciate what God has done here. He has blessed me with you. You are a gift from God. Wow, I feel so honored that God chose me to be your mother. I'm going to be your special manager here to make sure that you have everything possible to have an emotionally balanced, spiritually balanced life. That's what I'm going to do, because I know it. More I do that, more God's going to bless me for it, because God's given you to me. I'm going to make sure you have that kind of life here. And I want you to tell me, you know, how you feel. I'm interested in your feelings. I know you feel a lot. You see the world differently from I do. I want to know how you see the world so I can applaud you and your efforts and your goals. That's what I'm going to do. Yes, thank you for allowing me this pleasure. See? You create that. Now, suppose you had that in your life. Your whole life would be different right now. Well, you can have it, and you can have it now by creating it. You can do it. Remember, what's real is only what you don't see, not what you see. Everything you see is not real. No. It's in the process of deteriorating. Everything you see is in the process of deteriorating. Everything has an expiration date. It's not real. What's real is lasting. What's lasting? God. Now, God's lasting. God's permanent. God's lasting. Everything you see is deteriorating right before your eyes. So you are believing something that's going away, that's deteriorating, that's vanishing, fading, getting old, crumbling, or you believe in something that's real and permanent. We believe in that which is permanent. God is permanent. So we create in our mind that which is permanent in our life. So we can create validation, a validating parent, validating experience. We can create different scenarios in our past to bring about new and better feelings, so that we carry those good feelings with us instead of bad ones, and that will propel us to our goal in the future. That's how we do it. Yeah. You know, realize that God gave us that permission. We are co-creators. You know, we're creators with a small c. We're co-creators. We can create our lives. You see? Yes. We do it by good feelings, good thoughts. Yes. Good imagination, good creativity. Yes. Praying always to God for more guidance. And that's how we do it. We can shape our lives. And think about it, we're shaping our lives whether you know it or not, consciously or unconsciously. Bad thoughts, bad feelings, revenge, hate, well, all those things create your world also. So you're creating your life whether you know it or not. And since you're doing it anyway, you might as well do it consciously and create something that you want, not something that you don't want. So turn it around. Turn it around. You can do it. And when you do it and you're consistent, if you're a parent, your kids will see that, and they'll turn their lives around. Yeah, so many preachers, you know, who are hypocrites out here, you know, the ones, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about, the ones who are hypocrites, they wonder why the kids are going astray and rebellious. Well, the kids don't like to see hypocrites. They don't like to see one talk over here, another kind of talk over here. You know, they don't like that. They don't like that. So they're not going to be on the straight and narrow, you know, as you're preaching. They will act up, for sure. They see that daddy is not real. He tells people one thing, he shows me another face when he comes home. You know, I know the real deal here. You know, so that's why it's important to be consistent. Consistently shows you the truth. And we can do that as long as we feel we deserve it, and we feel that we earn it, and we feel that we've been blessed with it, and we'll have it and claim it. That's how we live a new life. Yes, sir.
Another part of your book where you talked about it's important to feel like you're important. Know that your feelings are real, very personal to you, and should be acknowledged as such. Feel okay sharing those feelings and personal outlooks and perspectives feel like something is not going to ridicule you in some other way, disrespect you behind your expressed feelings. Feel at ease discussing what is deep inside. Be okay being vulnerable because you feel safe with the other person. Feel like life is okay and that you want to live. Feel like life has purpose and value. Feel like God has a mission for you. Have a strong sense that God wants you to be a vehicle for his way to reach people. How many parents know this? You know, I think that is so important. And I say this to religious people, Muslims and Christians. It's not just enough to be a person of faith. You also have to be a person of a mission. You know, Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, I looked today and I hadn't seen the book in a year, but there's a book by about Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. And Dr. Mays, in my opinion, and my very learned opinion, I'd say, here too, is one of the foremost thinkers in America. There wouldn't be a Dr. Martin Luther King, a Maynard Jackson, if it were not for Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays.
Yes, sir.
There wouldn't be a modern 21st century clergy, particularly among African American working for Dr. Mays. Dr. Mays had this saying. He said, it's not a sin to fail. Only the greatest sin is low aims. And I think that is a very, very important point. And I think in the African-American community today, we're not giving more attention to a purpose, a mission. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Doc. This is a secret. In my darkest days, in my great despairing moments, even in my seconds when I probably feeling subconscious feeling flooded me with not even the desire to continue, the sense of what Mr. Ben Wright, what Mr. Spinner and others had put in me, a mission, that I had a purpose, a divine validation, that I felt a calling in my soul. That's what kept me rolling. Would you share with us a comment on that, just that point?
Well, you know, you mentioned a great, great person there in our history, one of our ancestors, and it's important to understand that we're going to have trials and challenges in life. That's a part of life, you know. You're going to have that. And too many times we focus on the trip along the way, or the fall, or the failure, and what happens, it goes right to our poor self esteem, our poor self worth, and so part of it says, see, I know I couldn't do it, I knew I was a failure, I know I couldn't pass that course, I know I couldn't stay married, I know I couldn't stay in class, I know I couldn't keep that job, here I have failed again, you know. And it speaks to him. What happened? It kind of feeds those old voices saying, we know you're no good in the first place. Your father was no good. You know, and so what happens is we're listening to the wrong voices, you know. And this is what I say. We have to create our own cheering squad inside. And that's very important. We're listening to the wrong voice. That old choir needs to be fired. Get rid of them. Bring in a new
choir. I like that. Do you think it's actually necessary? I know the Quran says it's very explicit. And in fact, the Quran says, say. It always talks about saying out loud. And the Bible tells, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. And the Quran says it says it very clear. Say, I'm a free man of the city. I'm a free person. I have all the right privileges thereof. And I think that's why a lot of us, as a people, we don't validate our experience. And therefore, we would rather be a beggar. We don't know we're being beggars. We'd rather go and ask somebody for a job rather than having the spirit to create a job. So what you were talking about on the individual level, I intend to go around this country, throughout the United States, and these neighborhoods have been given up, and get our people to take on that reconnection pledge. I hope you'll give me permission to use it. And in fact, I just love it. I wish you share a bit of it, share it again. I just think it's so important. We're going to have you on for the next 4 weeks. And also tell us your radio, where your radio broadcast is.
Yes.
Please.
And by the way, like I said before, I offer this to anybody. If you go to my email, which is nrbookclub@gmail.com. I'll say it again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. I will actually email it to you free of charge. You can get that. You know, I believe in giving things away. I want people to get the results. I want people to feel that they're worthy of that which is good and to claim it and go for it. In this Reconnect Decree, you can take any of these sentences, any of them, and have a transformation by themselves, any of these sentences, all of them. Now, here it goes. The Reconnect Decree. I can create, and I'm creating. Remember, when you say I am, that means you're opening the door for God to come in and give you blessings quickly. Because I am created universe. I am. Even in the Bible, you know, I am who I am. I am. So I say it again. I can create, and I am creating a powerful, peaceful, passionate, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. God's Spirit resides in me, is a part of me, directing me constantly, with me being the worthy co-pilot. All great things are available for my use and enjoyment. I will be great at anything I choose to do, because that is the only position I can take that I will be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner, because I am a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life I thought was only a dream with the accomplishment of my goals and joy in my soul. There you go.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It is powerful. You know what? Before I was aware of some people call it psycho-cybernetics, before I was aware of affirmations, before I was aware of visualizations, and we'll talk about visualizations in our next session, but we're going to finish up again. We're going to continue with validation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so important to be valued.
Yes.
To see importance, to be connected to value. And that's why, you know, I make it my business. I don't care whether the most degraded person I come across. Let me tell you, I won't waste my time or energy on junk. If I see a person's a hypocrite, they're a psychopath, I'm not going to waste 1 second of my time with them. Because that's
right.
God keeps us alive. There's a verse in the Quran to save your family, yourself and your family from a fire that's filled with men and stone.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are just evil.
Right.
Dr. M. Scott Peck wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. Then he had, after he was dealing with psychotherapy for psychoanalysis and psychotherapy for a long time, Dr. Peck came out with a book called The People of the Lie. And he realized you have to deal with evil. I believe that I'm not here to preach, but I believe that certain people have been guided and they decide they don't want right. If they don't want it, nothing I can do for them. I can't help those people. But I I rarely run across those people. I worked in prisons, and I have run across a few of those type of people. I stayed out of their way. I made sure they stayed out of my way. I was always in a place where I was going to be safe with them, or I had something I could crash them across the head with if they did come with ill intent.
Right.
But that's maybe 0.1%. But most people, I found, if you say something uplifting to them, they appreciate it. I've had tenants, landlords, and I would always speak to them as Mr. and Mrs. And I always said, I really expect great things from you. I had a young man that somebody shot at the door looking for him. And I was in a restaurant recently, and the young man, he had a big, exuberant smile on his face when he saw me. But, I mean, I'd seen him in some bad situations, but I never responded to him as a bad person. I always responded to him as a man that I believe was going to be great. And I see you as great. And I projected my own self-greatness for you. And that's how I deal with people. Because I met people along the way that validated me and valued me. And that's very extraordinarily important. So I want you to know, the audience that is, the importance of validating your children, validating your mates, validating people, putting value on something. You know, I learned this, brother, doctor, that in sales they told us, don't sell price. Don't reduce the price. Sell value.
Right.
You know, a person asked you, they wanted to go to, I worked as a school representative, and basically we were not but salesmen in these for-profit schools. And somebody asked them, well, what is the tuition to go to your medical school? Well, what good would it be if I told you, maybe I could let you come in for $100, but would it be worth anything to you? So I think it's important. They told us to push value. Said, now this is what you will gain from this. This is what you will gain. These are the facts. So I think we have to put value on ourselves. And I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you think we actually have to go to the mirror and talk to ourselves? Michael Jackson said, the man in the mirror.
Right. You know what? I say yes. Because what happens, we're afraid of the mirror. We're afraid to look in our own eyes, because that right there is the truth. If you're harboring evil, hateful, revengeful feelings, if you look in the mirror, that's going to come back at you, you know? And you can't hide from that. It's right there. So that will help you with the whole area of denial right there. So look in yourself and say the affirmations while you're looking at yourself. Yeah, yeah. You know, matter of fact, you can look in the mirror and say, like, I'll use I, you can say, you are. You can say, you are one with the power that created you. And I express the greatness that I see in you right now as you're talking to yourself in the mirror. Yeah, yeah. So we got to turn it around. Yeah, the mirror is a very, very powerful, powerful tool. Powerful tool. I tell people all the time, I have staff meetings every morning in my mirror. My staff is coming together to talk about how they're going to help me with a good day. And we talk and have a good time for sure. And you got to create it. Like I said before, create your own cheering squad. Start right there. Look in the mirror and see 20 of you in the mirror, all cheering you. Just saying, we're so glad you came here today. We're so glad you're addressing us today. You look good. God has blessed you with a fantastic look upon yourself. You've got God's grace all over you. You're going to produce millions today. People are going to love being around you for sure. I'm telling you, you got it going on. Look at you. God is good. Yeah. Imagine 20 people looking at you in the mirror and then telling that to you. High-fiving them all. You can do it. Why not? You can do anything you want to do. That's what your mind is there for, to create your own realities and then live in it. There you go.
That is important, yes. I agree with you. Visualization, validation, self-talk. I want to read here another comment, from the paper. When children don't have validation, the emotional scarring starts taking place and problems begin. Lack of validation is responsible for most problems youth are having today. They have a spirit inside them that is needed attention so badly that their spirit compels them to act out, hoping someone out here will hear the real need inside. It is the parent's responsibility to provide constant validation. Parents need to know and recognize the spirit inside the child. Talk to it. Tell the spirit that you love it. That spirit of soul is very important to the child and should be important to the caring parent. That spirit belongs to them. It is unique to them and should be respected by anyone who is in their personal environment. That soul should be honored and respected by both the child and the parent. The parent should support and encourage the child to honor their spirit within. Ask the child at different stages of their development how they are doing inside. How do they view the world? If the child could change something or anything out there, what would that look like? Let's talk a bit about that. We got about 5 minutes and just make comments on it, and then you can close us out with the reconnection creed.
Yes, well, I want to tell you, that is so very powerful. For a child to hear a parent ask them, how do you view the world? For a parent to say, it's important to me to know how you think. It's important to me to know how you see the world. It's important for me to know how you see yourself. How do you see me as your parent? How do you see living here in this household? I want to know how you're feeling. If you were in charge, what would you change and why? You know? Yes, I want to know because, you know, God has given you a special mission and purpose that he didn't give me. He gave it to you. It's yours. It's your name on it. So I want to know, what is that mission? Help me with it. What are you feeling inside? What's going on there? But yeah, a child hears that, man, I'm telling you, there's nothing they can't do. Nothing they can't do. So, wow, I can express myself. I'm loved. You're loving the spirit inside of me. Wow, I love the spirit inside of me too. I thought I was by myself. Hey, okay. Well, if I was in charge, I would just, you know, right now I think everything's going pretty good right now. And I think that, you know, people, we could be more loving around here and respectful, I would say that. You see, but I think you're doing a pretty good job. I think you're doing great as a mother right now. This is good. Yeah, I love this. This is fantastic. Wow. Great. You know, that would be a tremendous seed planted in that child if that kind of interaction took place. Unfortunately, do we see it? No, we don't see it most of the time. We don't see it in the homes now. We don't see that. But we could. Absolutely. Just say to yourself, I'm going to do this. I don't care what kind of upbringing I had. I don't care if I never got this before. I'm going to do it because I know I would like to have that. I would like to have it in my life. So I'm going to make sure my child gets it. Yes, absolutely. And you'd be surprised. A genius comes out of a situation like that. You know, gifted children come out of a situation like that. You know, you have a child that might, you know, have the cure for cancer, you know, before they even out of high school. You don't know. But if we allow that spirit to come out, you know, nothing but greatness will be the result. And that's what we want, more greatness from the child. And we're there to help it come out. We're here to help them allow it to come out more. So open the gates more. Let it come out. That's what we do. God is good.
Yes, let's close us out with, is there any closing comments on validation for this week? And while you edit, also tell us about what time your show has can be accessed and about the book.
Yes, well, you know, validation, we talked a lot about that, and it's very important to understand when the children feel validated, they feel they can conquer the world. They feel unstoppable. Nothing can get in their way of their goal. When they feel validated, their self-esteem and self-worth both increase dramatically. You have to first feel good inside before you can address the other needed items in your life, and that's very, very important to understand. Now, my book, Reconnected, for all you who are stateside, you can get it at my website, Cloud, after the three W's, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. If you're outside of the country, go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and you can get it on ebook format or paperback. They can take care of it that way. That's how you do it. My email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. If there's time, I can read the Reconnected Creed. Do we have time for that?
Yes, please do.
Okay, here we go. Reconnected Creed. I can create, and I am creating, a powerful, passionate, peaceful, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. God's Spirit resides in me, is a part of me, and is directing me constantly, with me being the worthy co-pilot. All great things are available for my use and enjoyment. I will be great at anything I choose to do because that is the only position I can take that I will be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner because I'm a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life I thought was only a dream with accomplishment of my goals and joy in my soul. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brother Nazim Rashid, the author of Reconnecting, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. You have listened to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. Don't forget to send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Until next time, to our honorable and noble listening audience, peace be on you.